Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike DeTay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Big John in Mid-City. Big John, in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, and Mr. and Mrs. Hoodat Nation, and hail to the mighty Saints. First of all, to all my friends down in South Louisiana, please be careful. Mike, you got a very nice birthday present yesterday, and the rest of the Hoodat Nation got to share in it, because there is nothing, my friend, like going into the fourth quarter of a football game knowing that you have the opponent put away and for good, and you can just sit back and relax and drink some cold ones. Before I go on with anything else, I'm not a Nickel State football fan. I don't follow the team like a lot of people do, but I got to say that I got to send out a great deal of credit to Nickel State coach Tim Rebo. He had his team ready to play on Saturday night, and he didn't back down from the Tigers. Obviously, LSU was a much more talented team, and they won in the end. But you know, he played right up nose to nose with them a lot of the way, and I was very impressed with him.
Yeah, Big John, listen, I've known Timmy for a long time, knew his brother, Rusty, who was an All-American linebacker at Nichols, actually played a couple seasons with the Saints, and man, he's done a great job rebuilding that Nichols program, but man, they hung in there. What a great game from Colin Guggenheim, John Curtis, yeah. High school quarterback. They converted him to running back. He's sort of a poor man's version of Taysom Hill in that, you know, he doesn't really play a lot of quarterback other than the power runs, but he running back, fullback, H-back. And Bob and I talked about this. He can go to his grandkids and say, hey, y'all can talk all that smack y'all want if you went to LSU. Man, look what I did against the Tigers. Didn't win the game, but, man, Colin had – and I've gotten to know him throughout the years, and just a great kid.
Well, and
obviously, and I nothing but respect for him.
Well, you know, Big John, what I'm worried about going into that being LSU, going into the South Carolina game, they're going to go on the road, start SEC play, is that, okay, how are they going to run the ball? Because, you know, you might say we have eight or nine in the box, but you can have eight or nine in the box and you're still averaging, you know, 4 yards a carry, whatever. Or your running back is making one man miss. But it was kind of the same song and dance. If you look against USC, which they averaged 3.1 yards per carry, you know, you take away the long 39-yard run by John Emery. And then against Nichols, they had 21 carries, 64 yards. And then you look at it, all of a sudden, Nichols State has 178 yards rushing. Versus LSU having, 64.
I know what South Carolina's going to do.
Yeah, they're going to run the ball. They're going to run at LSU to see if they could stop them. So that'll be interesting. Mike, was they transfer from Arkansas?
Rocket Sanders.
Because if you look at it, they had against Kentucky, they ended up winning that game. But I was telling Mike this and Big John, that South Carolina is going to be 11 o'clock kickoff Saturday morning in Columbia, South Carolina. That if you look right now and how you're trying to establish a team and how you think you're going to win, right now South Carolina leads the SEC in rush attempts through 2 weeks. Now, they gained 234 yards rushing. That was an ugly win against Old Dominion. And then they had 112 yards against Kentucky. And the score looks like that Kentucky really didn't have a chance. But they still attempted to rush the ball 34 times. So if you look in the first two games, now he's rushed, and he did this against Kentucky 13 times, 54 yards. So I could see them, considering what Nichols did against LSU's defense, that they're going to run the football. And then with LSU not having Jacoby and Guillory, with him being out because the Achilles tear, that, okay, whoever you're putting in there, I'm going to see.
Neal is good. Neal is good.
If you're going to stop it. So, no, this could be an unbelievable.
It's a big test for
LSU. So, I'm telling you, Saturday morning coming up at 11 o'clock. Is that on the SEC Network, Mike? Oh, what is
and
I think it might be on ABC.
And game day.
It's there.
It's there.
Yeah, the game day. Yeah, they're there in Columbus. So, there's a lot of pressure on LSU because, you know, the bottom line is that you win or lose the game. But it's not like LSU fans are confident right now, like if you're a Texas Longhorn or Georgia Bulldog fan. I would say that it'd be interesting to see what's going to happen against South Carolina and the challenge is there because then, I mean, you got UCLA coming to Tiger Stadium, and you got South Alabama.
And that game also has been moved. It was supposed to be a night game. Now they've moved that. Either it's going to be a 2:35 game or 3:15.
Against UCLA?
Against UCLA. They moved it to the afternoon.
Yeah, so.
Television say this is when you're going to play it.
Well,
that's when you're going to play.
Okay, I can tell you this. I'm just being fair. Whether you like this or not, if the Saints beat the Cowgirls, it will be an upset. And I would say right now, so far, if LSU would beat like a team like Ole Miss, it would
be an upset.
An upset, yeah. I'm not saying you can't win, but
it would be an upset.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, well, we're going to beat them. No, it'd be an upset. And Big John, I look at the Saints. I mean, you could say Dennis Allen, this and that. But if you look at it, no Saints coach has ever won three straight home openers. Sean Payton, Jim Mora, whoever. You go back to when the team first started, no one has won three straight home openers, and Dennis Allen has done that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very significant stat, but you know, guys, all I heard last week leading up to the game was that the Falcons were going to be the ones that were going to run away and hide with the NFC South. And then my lovely wife's Pittsburgh Steelers and their one-man wrecking crew, T.J. Watt, you know, went absolutely ape you-know-what on Kirk Cousins. And,
was,
you know, all
was
I
he
heard
a bad man yesterday? T.J. Watt.
Oh, man, he was playing
good
out of his
God.
Body.
T.J. Watt, okay, you know when you got, like, the Bosa family? You look like the Chargers, 49ers, they're studs. Boy, you talk about a gene pool. Then you look at the Watt family. J.J. Watt was an unbelievable football player, but he ain't his younger brother. T.J. Watt with the Steelers, is he a human? I mean, that dude is unbelievable. Mike, when you think about when you look at the production of a player and the Steelers, how they're structured, the Steelers under Mike Tomlin, they can have a boring team, but you'd be shocked if they don't win like nine games or something. And the Steelers might not win anything, but you look how they went to Atlanta. What, they kicked six field goals? They didn't even do it. They just played.
Man, Atlanta's defense played well enough to win, but
yes.
Kirk Cousins, he was El Sucko yesterday, Bob.
And I'm a Kirk Cousins fan.
Man, he wasn't good
but
yesterday.
But he hadn't played.
But
he
don't play.
He hadn't played in forever, and I'm good. To me, until you knocked him off the throne, you know who did not suck. And I tell you what, has some swag with him, Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay. Look what Baker Mayfield has done with the Bucks.
Okay, I mean, told this, Charlie knows this, about picking the winner of the NFC South. I told him until otherwise, Tampa Bay.
Right,
for
right.
Me.
Everybody wants to crown Atlanta, and then the Saints won't be relevant, and you look Tampa Bay, because the Saints have won the NFC South like four seasons in a row. But as of right now, Tampa Bay, I mean, Baker Mayfield, how do you handle adversity? Right now, the Cleveland Browns fans, they go, why don't we bring back Baker, get rid of Deshaun Watson?
Okay.
The Browns fans wish they had Baker Mayfield.
Mary Kay Cabot, who's been on the show a lot of times, she covers the Browns. She said it's the most Browns thing in the world for Baker Mayfield to be a star in Tampa. And we get the star, Deshaun Watson, and he's lousy here.
Yeah, I had done anything.
Unbelievable. Thanks so much for the call, Big John. We appreciate it.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.